This is the Lou Rockwell Show.
Well, it's so great to have Mike Shedlock on the show this morning. Mike, known universally as Mish, is a registered investment advisor representative for Sitka Pacific Capital Management. He writes for Minionville. He has his own podcast for House Street. He's a famous photographer and does magazine covers and book covers. Take a look at his personal website, michaelshedlock.com. But especially take a look at his daily blog at globaleconomicanalysis.blogspot.com, where he talks about, for example, such things as the housing bust, all these horrific bailouts. Mish, you've really been a leader in opposing the crazy plans of Bernanke and Paulson and the rest of the crew in Washington.
Yes. In fact, I've got another campaign going right now. I just finished a post on my blog. By the way, the best way to find me is just do a Google search for Mish, M-I-S-H. It's just the first two characters of my first and last name. It somehow is a catchy little name that caught on. Someone gave it to me, and I've been using it ever since. And right now, I am trying to stop the madness with the auto bailout. But I think people have to be practical about this. It's Congress is going to do something. We know that they're going to do something. Ideally, they should do nothing. But I'm encouraged today because there's a prepackaged bankruptcy option on the table, and I think that's realistically that is the best that we can hope for. Let GM, Ford, the automakers go into bankruptcy, restructure. That will force them to work out some arrangements with unions. I'm a very anti-union person, actually. I think they do far more harm than they do good. And we'll see. So I'm encouraged by a shot we have here to steer Congress towards only providing funds for a pre-packed bankruptcy option. Ideally, nothing. You know, Congress shouldn't provide any funds. But as a practical matter, this is the shot that I'm going to try and take.
But, you know, these days, isn't Congress almost irrelevant? I mean, since they seem to be printing up everything, they seem to be printing up every piece of paper they can find. That's like sort of Zimbabwe America.
Sort of Zimbabwe America. The difference between the United States and Zimbabwe and the difference between the United States and the Weimar Republic is has to do with the amount of debt. Zimbabwe was just printing. That money was going into the economy. We've got inflation rates that are measured in numbers that I can't even begin to explain. How many zeros are we at? 37 zeros or something on their inflation rate. The Weimar Republic was printing money to pay for war reparations. Here in the United States, the expansion of it's more been an expansion of credit and debt. And in a credit and debt bubble, I think we're going to see deflation. In fact, I think we're in deflation right now, at least by my definition of it. And a lot of the printing that is going on right now, I think banks are just sitting on that money. It's not making its way into the economy. And I did hear an interview with you and Austrian economist Frank Shostak, who said that, you know, as long as that money doesn't make it into, you know, the economy, we're not going to see the price effects of it. And that's my position as well. So, you know, we'll see. But Bernanke has other ideas. He's very resilient, and he's doing his best to destroy the economy. That we certainly can agree on.
I remember when Bernanke first came into office, and he gave his famous speech about, "Don't worry, folks, we'll never allow deflation to happen." And at that time, I imagined him mailing every American like a $10,000 check if it came to it. Who knows what these guys will actually plan? But as Murray Rothbard always said, in a depression or a recession, the one thing that regular people get out of it is falling prices. This, of course, is magnificent that prices are falling, although the government tries to do everything to prevent it.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's amazing. Look at the... How many years did we hear Congress and everyone else preaching that they wanted affordable housing? Now home prices are falling, gasoline prices are falling, and they don't like it. It's very hypocritical of Congress and all these various organizations, the home builders, everyone wants a bailout. Everyone wants to force the keep the prices of homes up. We need the prices of homes to fall. And they will fall, whether Congress or anyone tries to do anything about it or not. That's the state of the debt deflation unwind that we're in here right now. Home prices are going to drop to their natural levels, regardless of how much money that Congress throws at it. And it wouldn't be the Fed actually sending that $10,000 check out to everyone. It would take an act of Congress to do that. And one of the things that scares me, of course, right now, is some of the things that President-elect Obama now is saying about a stimulus plan. But on the other hand, I'm encouraged by a couple of things because he has said, you know, he's talked about the cost of these things. I look at it this way. Bush did everything wrong. Hopefully Obama will do a couple of things right. But we need to steer Congress as best as we can to do those things that are right. And sometime next year, after the new Congress gets settled in, I am starting an Abolish the Fed campaign and a plan to get rid of fractional reserve lending.
Oh, magnificent.
People have tried these things before. You see them. There's various plans out there that you can see it, stop the Fed. But, you know, most of them are radical, and some of them are doing things that I just don't think will work, like picketing in front of the White House or picketing in front of the congressional buildings. I don't think that works. I don't think that's going to convince anyone. We need a grassroots campaign of people, every legislative district in the entire country, to sit down, meet with their legislative representatives one-on-one and explain Austrian economics to them and why that is the only solution. I want people to go out there and read the books by Rothbard, read the books by Mises, and so that they can get educated first and then go out and explain to their legislative representative what needs to be done. And the books that I have targeted right now are What Has Government Done to Our Money?, Economics in One Lesson, and Economics for Real People. We need people to read those books, understand those books, and buy a copy not only for themselves, but for their legislative representative. That is the only way that I see that we can get anything done, is a grassroots campaign. And Obama has proven that a grassroots campaign can work. It got Obama elected in spite of all odds. We need to energize some of those very same people to get behind this push, meet with their legislative representatives, and if the representatives won't go along with the plan, then we need to get someone to run against every legislator that won't support these ideas. That is my proposal, and I intend to drive this thing home sometime next year after Congress gets settled in.
Well, Mish, there's no doubt that the central bank is the source of all economic evil in this country, or at least the enabler of all economic evil. We wouldn't have been able to have all the wars and all the welfare programs, all the interventions, all the bailouts, without a central bank. So you're exactly right. This is the top priority for anybody interested in a free market, or for that matter, an individual liberty in a free society. We have to do something about the central bank.
Absolutely. And the biggest factor here is fractional reserve lending, in my opinion. I'm just stunned by all the widely read economic professors like Rubini, Krugman, others, you know, see this and they want to try the same failed either Keynesian or monetarist policies that have failed at every point in history. The only thing they keep doing is increasing the size of the madness every step of the way. Hardly anyone has put their finger on the problem of fractional reserve lending being the root of all of this evil. The ability to lend out 10, 15, 30 times more than you have taken in money supply. That is the problem. And everyone's looking at regulation. We've got the scapegoat of all kinds of scapegoats. The scapegoats of we need more regulation of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. We need more regulation of the rating agencies. We don't need more regulation of the rating agencies. We need to stop government sponsorship of the rating agencies. We don't need regulation of Fannie Mae. We need to eliminate government sponsorship of Fannie Mae. People look and say, my God, you know, if we just had this regulation, this never would have happened. Well, they're wrong, because corporations will always find a way around that regulation. Citigroup found a way around regulation. It's called SIVs. They buried $1 trillion in off-sheet assets, off the books, in these SIVs. And those SIVs are now coming back to haunt Citigroup. Citigroup is bankrupt. The entire banking system is bankrupt. It's a fraud when you have $1 million under deposit and you're allowed to lend out $10 million on that $1 million. It's a fraud, and that fraud has to be eliminated, and these problems will not go away until we stop fraud.
And of course, you're exactly right, and this is why one bank going down can bring down other banks, because really the whole thing is a confidence game. And if people start to understand that their money is not in the bank, then without the government, the whole banking system would come down. Especially as overinflated and overleveraged as the current banking. Never been anything like this in history, I guess.
No, there never has been anything like this. And that's why Bernanke is printing right now, and he's wondering why it's not working. Well, it's not working because banks can't lend. Banks have no reason to lend. This is the other part of the madness. Congress is now questioning the effectiveness of what Paulson and Bernanke has been doing. Of course, we all knew ahead of time that it couldn't possibly be effective. Banks have no reason to lend. Here we are heading into a major economic slowdown. Consumers are retrenching. If banks start lending, they will just increase the bad debts that they have. There will be more write-offs coming down the road. Banks, for the first time, are doing the logical thing of not lending, and we have a central bank pushing them and a Congress pushing them to do more lending. It was reckless lending that got us into this mess, aided and abetted by the Fed and aided and abetted by fractional reserve lending, that got us into this mess, and they're proposing that the solution is the same as the problem. They want more lending. It's not going to work. Banks are resisting this, and I hope they keep resisting this.
Mish, if somebody's got some money left after all these, after everything that's happened, and wants to protect their capital and not be ripped off in future years, what can they do? Or can they do anything?
Oh, my gosh, that is a long story. Right now, the number one thing people need to do is understand the severity of this economic recession. And it might very well turn into a depression. And, of course, we need to define what depression means. But people need to have savings in the bank to be prepared for when they're laid off. They need to reduce leverage. They need to get out of debt. They need to, number one thing, stop paying any interest on credit card loans. That's the most insane thing. Interest rates on credit cards for those that carry balances are approaching 30%, sometimes more. 20% might be a good rate for someone. Making 20% on your money in a deflationary environment is almost impossible. People can do it simply by eliminating their credit card debt. Once that is done, then we can talk about doing some other things, buying some gold, buying some silver, and hard assets that are going to make sense. But right now, people need to get out of debt first and then start worrying about getting in the stock market and doing other things.
Ms. Shedlock, we sure appreciate having you on the show today. And let me urge everybody to take a look at your blog. The best way to find it is to put MISH, Mish, into your Google search engine, and he'll pop up.
Well, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be on the show. I hope we can do this again. You've had some great interviews, Frank Shostak, others, and it's a pleasure to be included in this group, and I hope to have the opportunity to be back on.
We sure will have you, Mish. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
You've been listening to The Lou Rockwell Show, produced by LouRockwell.com, the best-read libertarian website in the world. If you'd like to advertise on this podcast or on the website, email advertise@LouRockwell.com. And thanks for listening.